Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your podcast on all things Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News. And on today's episode, I am wrapping up Friday's marathon mailbag session. Had so many questions in response to my mailbag call on Twitter. Had almost 25, 30 questions come in. So what I did was a marathon mailbag where I typically will parse through some of the questions that I get, prepare my responses ahead of time. I didn't even look at the questions. I just went through and just had my first initial reaction to all those questions. And I had so many that I had to break this up into two parts. So if you haven't heard part one, that went up on Friday, dealt with questions about who the Warriors will sign in free agency, some options at center, some trade back scenarios with Chicago and Atlanta and some other things going on. So go ahead and listen to that. But we're going to go ahead and start part two of the marathon mailbag.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, continuing on with this marathon mailbag, this first question comes from Whitta Grizzly on Twitter. He writes in, who would you guess is Steph Curry's favorite prospect in the draft? He recently said that size and athleticism are two things that the Warriors should improve on. I think Steph's favorite prospect in this draft is whoever makes his job easier. And so what makes Steph's job easier? Well, certainly a guy who can step up defensively, but also a guy who can get him the ball. So is an adept passer, but also doesn't, is respected enough as a scorer to, where defenses can't play off of that rookie and double Steph quite as easily. And so I think you look at a guy like, Isaac Okoro, I think makes sense for Golden State, but there's questions about what he can do on the offensive end. So would Steph like to play with an Isaac Okoro? I think he would as far as on defense, but on offense, guys, teams can play off of Isaac Okoro and potentially double Steph. So maybe not. I don't know. I don't think that James Wiseman necessarily is something that Steph is somebody who Steph wants to play with, because Wiseman is not an adept passer out of the post. So I look at guys like Tyrese Haliburton, who has length, not the greatest athlete, but certainly has length on the perimeter, has deep NBA range, so you're going to have to respect him from beyond the arc, and is maybe the best passer in the draft. I know we like to think that LaMelo Ball is. LaMelo Ball is flashy, and he has a ton of YouTube highlights, and he's fun to watch, no doubt, but I still think Tyrese Haliburton is the best at running an offense, right? I trust his decision-making out of the pick and roll and in transition much more than I trust LaMelo's decision-making. So as far as like the X's and O's of running an offense, Tyrese Haliburton by far is the better facilitator in this draft, much better than LaMelo Ball is at this point, right? And so I think Haliburton would be a great fit alongside Steph. I think defensively, like, he's giving up some heft, right? He's 6'5", but, 175 pounds, so not the biggest guy. I don't know how much that matters in today's NBA, where if you're versatile and you can, get into passing lanes and get steals like Tyrese Haliburton can, I think he'd be a great fit alongside Steph, and that would be my guess. If I'm Steph Curry, that's the guy I want to play with in this draft, is Tyrese Haliburton. He's a guy who can walk in and just get me the ball. I can get him the ball. He can hit shots from beyond the arc. And he's just going to make smart plays, and if you're Steph Curry, and even like guys like Draymond Green, who played with this young group of guys and was so frustrated by the learning curve that this team had to go through last year, you just want dudes who know what to do and who are adults on the court. And Tyrese Haliburton, more than any other prospect in this draft, is just an adult, right? He just has a presence about him on the floor. And I wrote about this for the Mercury News and talked with his coach, Steve Prohm, at Iowa State, and he basically said all of these things that I'm saying. He's just got a maturity to his game that otherwise you can't find in this draft. And so that's the type of guy, if I'm a veteran on the Warriors, that's the guy I want to play with. Daniel Burt writes in, after watching this season and especially these finals, how worried do you think that the Warriors front office is about facing Anthony Davis? Are they just hoping to find a free agent big, not that worried, or take a chance and draft Wiseman, or are they very worried? I don't think that Wiseman makes a lot of sense for the Warriors. We've talked about that at length. I think Wiseman will be a good player in the NBA. I just don't know that he will be good enough early enough to maximize the Warriors' championship window within these next 2 or 3 years. I think what you do is hope that Kevon Looney bounces back and could be a factor in the playoffs against Anthony Davis and Nikola Jokic and these teams. But I think that it's something that you need to consider if you're the Warriors. That said, the Warriors' MO during this dynastic run has been to make other teams match up with them. And look, Anthony Davis is a small ball center. He's 7 feet tall, so you don't think of him as a small ball center, but he can handle the ball, he can stretch the floor, he can pass, he can do all the things that small ball centers can do, but he's big. And so there's no answer to Anthony Davis, right? There's just no answer to him. So you're not going to just completely change your roster in a futile attempt to take him out. What you can do is make sure that he's playing center and that bigger guys like Dwight Howard is not on the floor, so you're not getting completely beat on the boards. And then you just try to shoot enough threes that, you know, the size that you give up in the paint and maybe some easy twos and easy dunks and layups for Anthony Davis, you're making enough threes that you can counteract that. Right, this is what the Warriors have done over the last few years. They go small, and you just have Steph and Klay just go nuts from beyond the arc. I think that's what the Warriors are going to try to do. They're going to space the floor, and they're going to try to get teams to match up to them. Right? Because even if you force Anthony Davis to stay with Draymond Green or do whatever, you're forcing him to run up and down the floor, and maybe you can tire him out. I don't know. Maybe that's the idea. That said, I think that they're going to go into free agency, go get a traditional size big, a guy who they can match up with in those type of scenarios, and then just go with a committee approach with Marquese Chriss, Kevon Looney, and you know, a traditional sized big who and I laid out some options in part one of this mailbag. Genry writes in, "You and I both love Devin Vassell. What do you think about the Warriors switching picks with Detroit and getting back Detroit's 2021 first overall pick or first round pick and Luke Kennard as compensation? Then using Detroit's 2020 number 7 pick to select Vassell. Is that too much to ask?" Luke Kennard kind of came on strong for Detroit toward the end of the year. Not to say that they wouldn't be open to trading him, but I think in this draft, where there just isn't that much of a difference between number 2 and number 7 as far as prospects go, that might be a little bit too much. Maybe in another draft that makes sense as compensation, but in this draft, probably too much, I would think. But getting back the number 7 pick in this draft and first-round pick in next year's draft from the Pistons, who I don't think are going to be in the playoffs next year, so probably in the lottery again, even if it's protected top 5 or whatever, top 10, whatever, there's definitely value to that. And that, to me, is a sort of trade that the Warriors would make if they trade down in this draft. It wouldn't really be pick for pick and player. It would be pick for pick and future pick. And that's sort of what Yenri lays out here. If they can move down to 7 and still get Devin Vassell and pick up a future first-rounder, I think that's a home run for the Warriors. We've got a question about trading Andrew Wiggins next. This is Locked On Warriors. Let's talk about Roman, because talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually, we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, "I lost my mojo," or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, "I had a long day at work," or "Sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it." But with Roman, it's easy to talk about it with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and just take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. Let's get to this next question from El Padrino 419, who writes in, "Why are people so obsessed with trading Andrew Wiggins? Wiggins averages 21 points per game on 44% shooting. He's not a scrub. I know he's overpaid, but are people underrating how much the Warriors need Wiggins to work out? They probably won't get anyone better with a TPE or MLE, realistically." I don't know why people are so obsessed with this idea that the Warriors are definitely trading Andrew Wiggins. I don't know where this comes from. I don't know why my mentions... let me know. Did I miss something out there? Like some sort of Bleacher Report rumor piece or something that said that the Warriors are definitely trading Andrew Wiggins? Because if that happened, I missed it. But I get no sense from talking to people in the organization that they are trying to move off of Andrew Wiggins the way that they were trying to move off of D'Angelo Russell at the trade deadline last year. I don't get that sense whatsoever. They view Wiggins as somebody who can be part of this core long term. It is not a given that the Warriors are going to trade for another superstar. The Kevin Durant thing was an admiration. The core of this team is Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. You have three all-star level players. All you need to do, which is great. You're already winning, right? With that kind of core. All you do now is supplement that core with guys who can complement their skill sets. Andrew Wiggins can complement those skill sets. With Steph and Klay spacing the floor, he's one of the best off-ball cutters in the league, Andrew Wiggins is. And so he's going to have even more room to roam with Steph and Klay spacing the floor. Draymond Green is going to be able to create open shots for him. He is going to find more open looks than he ever did in Minnesota. He's not going to be asked to run pick and roll and pick and roll and pick and roll over and over again. He's not going to be asked to do that hardly at all. He might run some second unit offense and stuff like that, which I think he could do a really good job of because he has the experience. But his job is never going to be easier than it is this next season. And I think he's going to be able to improve his market value, no doubt. And if the right trade materializes, then I think the Warriors would be willing to include him. But they look at him as part of the core moving forward. He fits, right? He fits. Steph, Klay, Wiggins, Draymond. And then you fill in your center spot with your, you know, center by committee approach. And Steve Kerr thinks that Wiggins can play the four. You know, he's got a near 7-foot wingspan. He's really strong, even for his size. He can play the four. Why not? You see how small the league is going? Why not? So, yeah, I don't know where this idea about trading Andrew Wiggins being a given comes from. I think it's far from it. First of all, if you're a front office, you can't operate that way. You got to try to make this work, okay? You don't know if Joel Embiid is coming. You don't know if Giannis is coming. So you can't plan on that. You have Andrew Wiggins in the building. You got to try to make it work. Positionally, skill-wise, he fits. He'll never be worth the max contract. No, he won't. But his skills fit. And not every roster is perfectly constructed. Okay? You make do with what you have. And right now for the Warriors, you have Andrew Wiggins, and there's reason for optimism there. Gabby writes in, is the TPE still going to expire on October 24th? No, I don't think it is at all. The league, first of all, has been very... Well, no, it's not going to. The draft isn't until November 18th. And free agency isn't until after that. I think you're going to see the TPE and all these other exceptions just move along with this as they keep bumping back this calendar year. The expiration dates on these exceptions across the league will bump back with it. I wouldn't be worried about that. Yenry writes in, Eric Paschal showed up to minicamp in poor condition. Was he overweight or just in poor cardiovascular shape? I think that he was dealing with some family issues. Not confident enough to really report that, but he did show up to minicamp late. Okay, so he was dealing with something. And so he was a late addition to the quarantine period, and he was never really able to get in condition to participate in the meaningful scrimmages that were happening in that minicamp. I'm not that worried about it. To me, it's just, look, Eric Paschal carries a lot of weight. It's really hard to stay in playing shape in this pandemic where you're just not able to do that. Like, you can't go out and play on a pickup court. You're limited to, you know, weight room and one-on-one drills and stuff like that. There is no, you hear this all the time, but it's true. There is no substitute for a real basketball game, a real 5-on-5 basketball. Even a 5-on-5 scrimmage, you try to make it as game-like as possible, but the level of competition isn't that of a meaningful basketball game that matters in the standings. So it's just really hard to get in condition. I wouldn't be that worried about it. But for Paschal, this might be something that he deals with throughout his career. I could see him just, again, given his body type, he carries a lot of weight, okay? It might take him over the course of his career, you know, a couple weeks to really get into playing shape, to get into, you know, midseason form. It's going to take him a while, I think, at the start. I could see Paschal, despite him getting off to a fast start as a rookie, I could see him over the course of his career maybe getting off to slow starts at the beginning of these seasons, at least in the preseason. David Mills writes in, is the TPE about to expire without the Dubs using it? We just answered that. Daniel Burt writes in, do you know if the Warriors like Terry from Stanford? If so, would they like to trade back with the Knicks to get two picks, one later lottery like that they like, and one much later hoping to get Terry? I don't see them going after him. He's a three-point shooter, kind of a small guy. If you're a team drafting Terry, you're hoping that he becomes like your Steph Curry or your Trae Young. I don't think he's quite at that level. People seem pretty split on him, you know. Scouts and draft experts, draft nicks that I trust, have him as high as a lottery pick and as low as, like, the end of the first round. He seems to be a three-point specialist, but he's giving up a lot of size. He's not going to be a great defender at the NBA level. And I just, if you're the Warriors, I just don't see him as filling enough needs there. Nico writes in, any second-round players that the Warriors have their eye on? I'm intrigued by guys like Emmanuel Quickley, Tyshawn Alexander, Daniel Arturo, Xavier Tillman, and Killian Tilly. I still think Killian Tilly ends up going in the first round. He's got such tremendous talent and upside. If he could stay healthy, he's just like a 3-and-D playmaking center that a lot of teams would like. I think there's going to be a team, a contender, that just says, you know what, let's just take a chance on this guy being healthy and getting the most out of him. I like Xavier Tillman a lot for Golden State. I would have my eye on him as a Warriors fan. Playmaking center out of Michigan State, Draymond Green's alum, that matters. He's got crazy efficiency numbers. There's potential for him to space the floor, but a good rebounder, a good passer from the low post, just makes a lot of sense for what the Warriors like to do. Just a winner, winning program type guy. They like guys like him, especially in the second round. I could see them taking Xavier Tillman. However, I can also see them just moving off these picks, either packaging them to move up slightly in the draft, but that doesn't really happen that much in the second round. Maybe using it on a draft and stash. Like, this team, the Warriors are not going to have a lot of draft or a lot of roster spots available. Do you really want to use a roster spot on a second round pick where the success rate of those guys is so low, despite Golden State's success in the past in drafting second rounders? It's still iffy, right? It's still iffy. And I think you would rather, if you're the Warriors, use those 15-man roster spots on guys who are veterans, who you know can contribute in the playoffs. So they may, unless they fall in love with a Xavier Tillman or something like that, I think they're probably going to go the draft and stash route or sell these picks for cash. It wouldn't shock me if they did that either. All right, we've got some questions about more centers, specifically about Tristan Thompson coming up that next here on Locked On Warriors.
Let's talk about Built Bar. If you're like me, when you get hungry, you can make bad decisions. But the best way to avoid blowing your diet is to be prepared, and that's why I always have a box of Built Bars in the kitchen. Not only is this the best tasting protein bar I've ever had, it's the most healthy and it fills me up when I'm busy or I'm on the go. With 18 amazing flavors, including new flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and apple almond crisp, Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate and soft and easy to chew. They taste like a candy bar, but they're low calorie and low sugar while also being high in protein and fiber, making them perfect for any keto and other low carb diets. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order plus a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
If you haven't already, now is a perfect time to hit that subscribe button to get episodes of Locked On Warriors every day. Wrapping up our marathon mailbag, two-part marathon mailbag, this question comes from A-Rod. Thoughts on Tristan Thompson and Bismack Biyombo as cheap bigs? Bismack Biyombo makes sense to me. If you're looking just for a big dude who can kind of run some pick and, you know, roll in the pick and roll and do stuff like that, yeah, I think at the veteran minimum, he's certainly an option. Wouldn't be the number one option if I'm Golden State, but is at least on my board somewhere. I would rather get a guy who can play make, maybe even shoot a little bit, but Biyombo would be an option, no doubt. Tristan Thompson, I think, would be a great fit, but he is a clutch sports guy. There is some off-the-court weird stuff that I don't know that the Warriors would be super thrilled about. It would be very sort of like Dennis Rodman to the Bulls-esque, like when Dennis Rodman played for the Bad Boy Pistons. Like, does Tristan Thompson really want to leave? Like, does he have, you know, a rivalry with Golden State that would prevent him from signing there? And I don't think a starting job would be guaranteed there, and I think Tristan Thompson would be looking for that, or at least a lot of minutes. And I don't even think that the Warriors can guarantee him a lot of minutes, because he would just be part of a group that include Kevon Looney and Marquese Chris, and his skills are a little duplicative of Kevon Looney. If Looney's not healthy and the Warriors are not, you know, convinced in Looney's long-term viability, I could see them trying to go after Tristan Thompson, but he might be more than the minimum. He might demand the MLE. And so I think that the Warriors, it makes sense fit-wise, but doesn't really make sense situation-wise. I think Tristan Thompson ends up somewhere else. This question comes from Nicholas Denz on Twitter. Since it seems likely that James Wiseman will land at number 3 to Charlotte, does that make Cody Zeller available? Zeller seems like a cheap Zaza-type center that we could use against the large centers in the playoffs. I'm not a fan of giving up wing depth like Wiggins and high picks for a player like Miles Turner. This is a good question. I think Cody Zeller could be had for the TPE. He's making about $14 million. Now, I wouldn't use the TPE on Zeller. Maybe the Warriors acquire Zeller and use him in some sort of bridge package to go out and get another guy. I could see that playing out. But if the Warriors were to actually land Zeller play on this team next year, I could see a buyout being a possibility. But just really quick, I don't know that Charlotte is definitely drafting James Wiseman at 3. I still think that they can go with an Anthony Edwards if he's there, or a Killian Hayes. It wouldn't shock me. Though Wiseman, he does make a lot of sense for that team. I could see them going ball handler. I could see them doing that. But if Wiseman does go there, yeah, they can move off Cody Zeller. They may just buy him out, okay? And if they buy him out, he's on an expiring contract. They could afford to possibly buy him out. And if that's the case, then definitely. Because he's going to probably be taking some money with him, leaving Charlotte. And so the Warriors could probably get him at the minimum. And I like Cody Zeller at the minimum. If you can't get Mason Plumlee or Aaron Baines or Myers Leonard, yeah, Cody Zeller makes a lot of sense to me. And he's a decent enough playmaker, smart enough player. I think he's a good player, good screen setter. He'd be a really nice addition to the Warriors, but it would require him getting bought out first, which you can't really count on, but it's something if I'm the Warriors front office, I would be monitoring. And that's it. That does it for this two-part marathon mailbag. It was certainly a marathon. My voice is already leaving me, if you can't tell. But thanks for listening. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg, or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thank you, as always, to everyone who did submit questions. Keep them coming. I will continue to get to as many as possible. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you here tomorrow morning.